Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Hello there. This is another one of our bonus episodes that we throw out now and again where we round up some of the correspondence that we've had from you, the cunters, out there. We could call it Cunters Corner, couldn't we, Sam? Possibly.
Cunters Corner, Cunters Mailbag. Call
anything
it what you
like
will.
That.
You've done the legwork for these sorts of episodes. And yeah. We've got huge mailbags, sacks of the stuff.
Yeah, literal sacks. So we're contributing nothing to this. We're just going to read out some stuff that you've done. And we'll fucking get on with it. There's loads of bullshit. We also want unexpected boobs. We want sexual feels. What's the other categories that we're after?
I can't remember.
Unusual triggers for teenage wanking could be a good one.
I've got one that I've done today that I want to know really whether other people do this sort of shit.
I always
fuck up any kind of trip booking.
Mm-hmm.
I just always do it because I do it in a frenzy of excitement. And like, you know, when we went to Scotland for the weekend up to like the Highlands, me and the missus back in June or July or something, I was so excited. And it was only once we were flying up to Glasgow, then hiring a car and going to this place. And it was only once we got to the hotel, which was a really long drive from Glasgow Airport, like 2 hours, did she check the return flights. I said, oh, what time are we flying back on Sunday? And I'd booked the return flight for the following month. So, because I hadn't checked. So I've just booked a trip somewhere else for like a few weeks' time, just a cheeky couple of days away with the kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sending the details on to my wife, having bragged about it and shown the accommodation that I have booked to my kids last night.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this, kids. Look what Dad's booked. Oh, it's going to be great. We're going to go away for a few days. And they're really excited. They're picking what room they're going to stay in.
Yeah.
And I've just booked it again for like, I've booked the flights for one set of dates and I put the accommodation for a set of dates a month later.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the category then? I am a fuckwit.
Yeah, big fuck ups. When bookings go wrong. When bookings okay. go wrong. Also, what's the quickest you've ever lost your temper? I was in a job once when I was very young doing work experience and I turned up one morning with a bit of a hangover. I think I was 19, and there was a really nice Welsh woman who was sort of my boss, my line manager, as they say.
Yeah.
She was always really nice to me, and we had a really good laugh. But because I turned up with a hangover, she went, oh, your brother called for you earlier. And I went, oh, all right. And that was it. He called me at home, and he'd said, oh, I called your office, and I spoke to this really nice Welsh woman. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And he goes, and when I said, are you there, she said, oh, no, he turns up when he wants. He's a right part-timer, right? And it was like a gag. She was obviously had been joking or flirting with him, perhaps, on the phone. I've turned up at the office, a snot-nosed, spotty teenager, lucky to even be there, right? It was a good place for me to be getting work experience. She's gone, morning. I'm about like 2 hours late, Andy, because I've been on the piss the night before. And I've gone like this to her. She's my boss and superior. Don't morning me. I've spoken to my brother. He said he called the office and you're giving it all this, oh, he turns up when he wants, bollocks. I'm not even getting paid here. And I don't want to hear you bad-mouthing me to people who call the office. I don't need it, all right? And she tried to, like, say something in return. I went, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't need it. And she just laughed because it's like, you're a teenager on work experience. Who the fuck do you think you are? Anyway, that popped back into my head earlier and I thought that's probably, and this is saying something, as you and regular listeners will know, that's probably one of the biggest dickhead moves I've ever made in my life.
Yeah, it's a good one, that one. So we could ask for quickest feet to lose your temper and a spectacular first days at work as well.
Yeah.
all of that. Just anything. It's anything really you think's funny.
Send us
just
any old bollocks.
Yeah.
By the way, you know I had a pop at a Wimbledon fan who'd been like giving me some off the peg banter on Saturday night when West Ham lost to Wimbledon.
Yeah.
He's got in touch on Twitter.
Oh, has he?
Because it turns out he's a listener to the podcast and he'd heard our whole rant, including our plans to attack him using drones.
Right. And an iPad.
And there's good news and bad news. The good news is he heard us really coating him off about the fact that he'd called himself an MD on his Twitter bio.
Yeah.
And he has subsequently deleted it. So he listened to what we had to say. And he said, "You're right, I'm a prick, I've removed it." But on the other hand, he was like, "Oh yeah," he's being all magnanimous. But then he's chucked something in about my location.
Oh, is he coming at you with a drone?
He really casually chucked in, not where I live, but an area near where I live.
Ooh.
And it was like a little shot across the bows, like, you might think you can track me down with your drone, Delaney, but I know where you are too.
I know. You've probably dropped enough hints over the months of doing this, though. Talking about parks and things like that. He's probably got
Richmond Park.
He's got a map and he'll put little crosses everywhere you've identified yourself as being.
He actually said that he'd triangulated me.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Well, you fucking brought that on yourself, mate. Never mind. So we're doing brand management as well now then, telling people how to do their Twitter bios.
Yeah, but he got that for free.
He did.
And we'll let him have it for free because we also did give him a right roasting on air and we didn't know he'd be listening. So on this occasion, we will let you have that consultancy for free.
How,
if anyone else wants consultancy from us, we will charge a lot of money.
How did you think he was going to get in touch with you as a West Ham fan, with him as a Wimbledon fan, if he hadn't heard you on this podcast? You don't have much of a profile, do you?
I've been tweeting about West Ham for years.
Yeah, but you've only got and 300 I'm followers on or something.
I'm on TalkSport talking about West Ham. I've been on TalkSport talking about West Ham for about 10 years, so I get loads of shit from people.
Well, I suppose that reflects well on this podcast then.
Mm.
We've got lots of listeners. That's nice. Shall we plough into this the Cunter's Corner, the Cunter's Mailbag?
Let's do it.
Dip into it. And Andy Peters, who got in touch in the last Cunter's Mailbag, and he had a story about a bullshitter who'd chopped his fingers off with a Moulinex electric carving knife and then put them in ice and got them sewn back on again. There's an extra bit from the same bullshitter when the fella had told the story about how he'd cut his own leg off with the same Moulinex and then passed out. He said he woke up in hospital, looked down, saw that they'd sewn his leg back on. He then heard a voice from God telling him that he wasn't supposed to have a leg, so he ripped it back off.
Jesus Christ.
In the hospital bed. He's fine now, but he's fine, by the way, says Andy. He has two complete legs and five complete fingers.
Well, I'm happy that that has a happy ending. That story.
And there's another
Lewis here.
A little addendum, hang on. He says, apart from that, he was a sound bloke. He says, well, sort of a two-way street. He had another nickname of Credit Card. And Andy says, I shared a house with two other blokes and he kept on our sofa when he'd split up with his girlfriend. At the time, he wasn't working, but he was a proper grafter, so much so that when we came home from work, the house was immaculate and he cooked us some dinner. We wondered how he got to the shops and back in, so he said he'd use a credit card to basically break back into the house. From then on, we never knew whether he would be there or not until eventually he was not and he was gone.
It's a great, being able to break into any property is a great bullshit theme, isn't it?
Have you tried that before with a credit card? I've tried it. You can't do it.
No, I've never done it.
It's fucking impossible, isn't it? It's bullshit.
No, I'm more of a, if I have had to break into anywhere, I've always been all about climbing like Spider-Man and then slithering through small gaps in a window.
Okay.
That was my MO.
Okay.
When I was younger and thinner, I was well known for being able to get through really small window gaps.
What did they call you? The snake?
Like a snake, that's what I was, yeah. Lewis has been in touch and said, many years ago, my mum told me that Dad went out and came home with no trousers. He claimed that on the way from one pub to another, he saw some kids playing cricket and asked to join in. Uh-oh.
Okay.
On his way from one pub to another. All right, kids, mind if I join in on the old cricket match? You look like you're having a lot of fun. Okay, mister. Anyway, he was batting and one of the kids sent in a rather fast delivery, which deceived him and struck him on the pocket area where he had his fags and matches. The matches right. then burst into flames and he had to remove his trousers before he was seriously burned. He used to tell me this story as a kid until I got to the age where I started to question it. A cricket ball, someone had bowled him a googly,
A kid had bowled him a googly.
Kid.
Yeah.
A bowled a googly that was not only had loads of spin, but was also like bowled with such power and speed, it ignited a box of matches in his pocket, set his trousers on fire. Impressive.
So, what happened after that then? Did he go on to the next pub or did he just go straight home? Because
yeah.
it said he
yeah.
was between
So he
pubs.
Took off his burnt trousers, went to the next pub, just had two or three beers and a meal,
just
and then
pants.
Walked home in his pants.
I've got one here from Mike. He says, went to Palace versus Watford the other day. A mate of a mate came, complete bullshit, but I caught him out. I'm going to Vegas in March, and he said he found $500 on the floor when he was there, went into a casino and turned it into $4,000. It paid for his and his mate's holiday. My mate commented later about a Prague trip and asked him about what happened. Same story again from him, only in Prague. I asked if he was sure about Vegas, and he said it had happened twice.
Fucking hell.
What are the odds?
Fantastically lucky man.
What are the odds?
Unbelievable.
And there's Pubert another. There's, O'Hare. Hang on, there's right. part two from Mike as well. This is a schoolmate, he says, pretending to be cool. He says his schoolmate was going to the opening match of France 98, Brazil versus Scotland, and his Scottish uncle was going to pick him up after school, get the Eurostar, then get back ready for school, but apparently he lost the ticket. And another he watched Titanic 9 times and became obsessed. Yeah. It got to a point where he had a letter from Sainsbury's who were going to sponsor him to visit the wreck of the Titanic in a submersible. He didn't go in the end. And as Mike says, why Sainsbury's?
Let's not pick holes. Remember what our rule is.
Yeah, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Drink Trooper it in.
O'Hare. He opens his email like this. Hi, guys. I absolutely love the podcast.
Good start.
Trying to ingratiate himself. I was talking about the best bullshits earlier today with a mate, and he reminded me of a kid we went to middle school with who once claimed that his dad was the person inside the Big Bird costume on Sesame Street. When we started laughing at the obvious lie, he tried to convince us with the extra detail that he once walked in on his dad shacking his mum while he was wearing the costume. What? He couldn't understand why that made us laugh even more. Yeah, you know my dad, right? He's Big Bird off of Sesame Street. I see him in the costume. No, it ain't, mate. Don't laugh. It's true. It's true. Once I walked in and he was shacking my mum in it. How do you know that? I tell you what, mate. You may well have walked in on Big Bird shacking your mum, but you have no verification that that was your dad
that
inside
dad.
The costume. It's actually quite a sad story, that.
Alternatively, his dad and mum might have been into various things that incorporated a Big Bird costume that were none of his business.
There's many explanations, none of them savoury.
We're going to rule that one as true and legit.
Mm. Sorry, Pooba O'Hare, that is true. Your mum was shagged by Big Bird.
Stephen Brammer says, a fella used to drink in our local that was a notorious liar. Possibly his most memorable one was that he said he had a villa in Portugal next to Sir Cliff Richard. And over the years, had got to know the Peter Pan of pop very well. He says, the reason why Cliff had never married was because they had to wear a colostomy bag and he was very embarrassed by it. This meaning he never felt as though he could settle down. He also said that Sir Cliff had had more women than I've had hot dinners. And the same bloke one day told me that if I had a pound for every fag I'd given Rod Stewart, I'd have as much money as him.
Well, I mean, that's like, Rod Stewart's got to be worth, what do you reckon?
20 million
quid?
Yeah.
20
definitely.
Million?
So he's given
him 20 million cigarettes.
Yeah. And no also, that Sir Cliff story is absolute bullshit. And I know that Sir Cliff does take legal action now and again against people who tell lies about him. So we'd like to reiterate.
No, there's no way
there's
that's
no
true.
Truth in that. Whatsoever, Sir Cliff.
We haven't had a huge amount of celebrity bullshits, but you'll remember a man who I called Dave the Liar, the one who claimed that he killed a tramp on his first date with a girl.
Yes.
He's the best real-life bullshitter I've ever known, and he, and it just reminds me of, he claimed that he was in a pub once in Chiswick, and Paul Weller was there. And he said that Paul Weller walked in, you know, with all his bodyguards, which was a recurring element of any of his celebrity lies, because he covered all of the classic lie genres, and he had several celebrity lies, and the one about Paul Weller was he walked into the Barley Mow, Paul Weller, the other night with all his bodyguards, right? And he reckons that he went over to say hello and pay tribute to Paul Weller because he was a huge fan, mm-hmm. and the bodyguards, I think he claimed there was like four of them. Like, Paul Weller just goes around to pubs with four bodyguards.
Yeah.
They said, oi, back off. And they got a bit heavy-handed with him.
Ooh.
And Dave the Lie was a bit like, oi, I'm only, you know, I don't want any trouble. I'm just coming over to say hello. But a man can't say hello to his own, to one of his idols.
His idol, yeah, exactly.
And they were like, no, he can't, fuck off. Paul just wants a quiet night. And apparently Paul Weller said, no, it's all right, lads. He seems like a nice bloke. I want to talk to him. So Dave the Liar then stepped forward again, at which point they shoved him over. So Dave got up, lost his rag, and fought and beat up all four of Paul Weller's bodyguards, right? After which Paul Weller said to him, that was the most impressive fighting display I've ever seen. I've never seen someone do that to my bodyguards before. And he fired them all on the spot and offered Dave the job instead.
The job of four men.
The job of four men. But Dave couldn't because he was doing, I don't know, some other made-up job he'd told us. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. He also, just briefly, the other time he said so-and-so turned up, same pub with all his bodyguards, it was Andy Peters. The Andy Peters from CB. He goes, that Andy Peters was in the pub the other night with all his fucking bodyguards, giving it large, because he knew that he could stand behind them and he wouldn't get any trouble. Because in the 80s, when Andy Peters was doing the Ed the Duck business and all that,
still doing a bit,
he went everywhere with what he called his ring of steel, which was a huge security brief, a little bit like, you know, when you see the CIA running along next to the president's car, and they all have one hand on the bonnet, don't they?
Yeah.
And the other hand, they have pressing an earpiece into their ear, and they all wear dark glasses. That's how Andy Peters went around.
But with Ed the Duck with him as well.
Yeah, and Ed the Duck had his own separate security team.
Were the security team ducks or were the humans?
Yeah, it was ducks in dark glasses and tuxedos. Just briefly, though, Andy.
Yeah.
Do you have bodyguards?
Me personally.
I mean, you're quite well known. Do you have bodyguards?
I'm quite down to earth. I just go around as myself.
But you must get, if you get trouble, do you just deal with it yourself then?
Well, yeah. I've got all the kung fu badges and everything, so I can deal with myself. Yeah, it's no problem.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I'm just asking because I'm thinking, since that bloke's been threatening me.
Oh, I see, yeah.
With the drones and various other, you know, there's been a lot of hostility, let's be honest, towards me in recent weeks.
It's a little bit like in 1981 when Roy Race got shot and there was a list of possible...
Yes,
culprits.
It's just like that. And I think it's only a matter of time before I, Sam Delaney, am shot.
Yeah.
Hopefully not dead. And I just think it would be shrewd to invest in some security before that happens.
You live in London. Mm. It's very different down there.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll ask Andy Peters if he's got any good contacts.
Good idea.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Right, here's some more bullshit then. This is from Cameron Deal. He says, a lad at my school was a compulsive bullshitter. From his side gig at the age of 15, racing dirt bikes professionally, to the original Mini Cooper S in his shed that he was restoring, but that we never got to see because he was awaiting some custom parts from some fictitious place or other. But he says, this innocent knobheadery took a turn one day when another lad at our school's dad passed away in year 11. The bullshitter decided to steal the limelight by announcing this was not a big deal because his dad had died the year earlier. Given that we all knew his dad, who worked in the building society down the road, this spectacularly cunty lie was met with more than a few questions. His response was that this was his stepdad and his real dad was a stunt driver who had died filming, of all things, an episode of Mersey Beat. You remember? Do you remember Mersey Beat?
I've forgotten about it till just now, but I don't think there was that many car stunts.
He said, which, aside from not being well-known for its extensive collection of stunts, had not been on the air for about 5 years. He says, this lie lasted about 48 hours until one of our class caught up our bullshitter's mum picking up her lying son after school and did some fact-checking. This, I gather, eventually led to a well-deserved kicking by our non-fictitiously grieving classmate. Proper arsehole, says Cameron.
He kicked his head in.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Good.
That's a distressing story all round. There was a lot of people. I mean, there was a couple of kids in my school who claimed they were adopted but weren't. Is that a common thing? People claiming they're adopted?
Yeah, it's an attention-seeking thing, isn't it? I think that does happen from time to time. Yeah. It's like that thing about, okay, I've got a girlfriend, but you wouldn't know her because she goes to another school. It's on par with that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sad, though, to say that you're adopted. I would have never made that lie up because, I'd feel bad on my mum.
Yeah, it is quite tragic, that.
Anyway, Gary Collier has said, mate of ours.
Anyway, never mind.
Told us, never mind. If you have ever lied about being adopted and you want to tell us your reasons why, get in touch through all the usual channels and avenues. Mm. Adoption lies is a new category of top of content that we're appealing for. Adoption lies is a great content theme.
Like,
send us your adoption lie stories. Okay. Gary Collier says, bullshitter mate of ours told us he could come clean now he'd left the regiment, as he called it. That's good lingo, that, because that is what Chris Ryan calls it.
Sounds legit.
He said he'd served 6 years in the SAS. This was a surprise to us all, considering he hadn't ever joined the army. However, if anyone challenged him, he'd pack up his tent and live in the woods for 2 weeks. He said it was a special forces trick to reset his inner demons. Wow.
Whoa.
That's really impressive, because most bullshitters are lazy. Rather than do things with their life, they just sit in a pub or a school playground making things up. But this guy at least fucking responded by going out every time someone called him a liar. He'd go and camp in the woods for 2 weeks, which is no easy feat.
What he's done there is he's met the bullshit halfway. Hasn't he?
Yeah.
He hasn't sort of backed it up with the evidence, but he's kind of like gone towards it and done a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's to be admired. It's
another military-related one here. Joe from New Jersey, it says here. He might be a bullshitter as well. He might not be in New Jersey. I've got no idea. He says, he must be American. A guy I went to school with was a notorious bullshitter. When he was about 17, he told everyone that after he passed his driving test, he went out and bought a brand new Mustang convertible. Ah, he's American, yeah. Oh. And was driving it home in the middle of the night, but hit a tree. Then a pack of wolves started surrounding his car. And he had to fend them off barehanded. I had to kill the mother and the cubs, he told everyone proudly.
That's line of the week. I had to kill the mother and the cubs is line of the week.
He said the Mustang was totaled, and that's why he had to replace it with a used 1998 Hyundai. The same kid told everyone he was deployed to Afghanistan on the weekends, and his Facebook profile picture was one of the first results for Army Soldier on Google Images.
Army Soldier.
He's Googled Army Soldier, took the first picture. Supposed to a
different sort of
Facebook
soldier.
Yeah, and he says, but he still insisted it was him once someone showed him proof of his Google Images bullshit.
John in Manchester. One day at school, we discovered that one of the lads in our class had a very unusual and highfalutin middle name. absolutely ripe for ripping the piss out of. After much good-natured ridicule, he set us straight and told us that he had a multi-millionaire uncle abroad who, before this lad was born, told his parents that if they gave him the hilarious middle name, he'd be given £10 million on his 21st birthday. What kind of mad elaborate lie is this? I saw him recently. He's now 30 and looked to be on the bones of his arse. I mean, we found out that your middle name is what, like Tarquin?
Yeah.
Explain that one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's quite simple. You can all laugh as much as you want, but I've got a multimillionaire uncle who lives out in America, and he said that if my parents called me Tarquin, then I'd get, what is it, 10 million quid on my 21st birthday. Oh, that explains it. That sounds entirely plausible.
Yeah. Sorry, we'll not take the piss anymore. But he must have spent it then.
Not Christian name. How much would you have got if it had been your Christian name? 20 million.
15.
But they thought that was unfair, so that in the end they compromised and went for middle name for the 10 million.
He must have spent it all, because he's like 30 now and on the bones of his arse, so he must have spent it between 20 and 30.
Andy, if someone came to you and said, if you changed your name to pedo cunt.
Yeah.
Pedo cunt terrorist.
Mm.
Right. And so just think it through. You're in a doctor's surgery. Pedo cunt.
Yeah.
Mr. Pedo cunt terrorist. Pedo cunt terrorist. How much, and you had to have it forever.
Right.
How much money would you do that for?
100 million.
You wouldn't do it for 10 million?
No, 100. Would you do it for 10 million?
Yeah, definitely. Without hesitation.
You can live on the interest, and then if you're doing it, you go to the doctors, you can go private because you've got all the money.
Yeah, and do you know what? I'd just get people to give me a nickname.
Yeah.
It would only be like on my passport and like my official documentation.
Bank statements.
Exactly, I'd go private doctor.
Yeah.
Anywhere else where your name gets called out. Where else does your name get called out?
Well, nowhere. You can become a recluse when you've got 10 million. You don't need to go anywhere where your name gets called out.
Yeah, I'd just become like Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
I'd live in a huge fucking mansion. I'd grow my fingernails really long.
Yeah.
I'd walk around with Kleenex boxes for shoes.
Yeah.
And I'd invent an aeroplane that could fly all the way to the Belgian Congo in under 3 minutes.
The Spruce Goose.
The Spruce Goose, exactly.
Yeah, all you need to do is just have your passport changed and then just become a recluse with your 10 million. Piece of piss. Yeah. I'll retract.
To be honest, mate, I'd do it. I was embarrassed to admit this, but I'd do it for a million. Now that you've, I would do it for like not much money. I don't care. It's the easiest
terrorist.
Thing in the world, changing your name.
Yeah,
so if anyone's out there, maybe
the
a sponsor.
Office, don't you? You just go down the post office.
Well, you remember that story the other week about the fella who turned up to change his name and he hadn't thought of a new name, so he just said to the woman behind the counter at the post office, what's your name? I'll change it to that.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
Dead easy. It's like getting a dog licence. I've got a sexual failure from Chris Moore.
Okay.
And he says, at uni, I really fancied this girl. And one night, me and my mates went out to some club night and I invited her and a mate along. About 12:30, she came over to me on the dance floor, me having been played it cool all evening by basically ignoring her. Anyway, she asked me if I wanted to leave and get a Domino's or something.
Ooh.
I replied that I wasn't hungry, but maybe in an hour or so. Oh, Chris, you dick.
Oh, God, mate.
He says, by the time I...
The thing is, these are so bad because they're so sort of familiar.
Yeah. He says, by the time I realised what was going on, her and her mate had got bored and gone home. Standard sexual failure, and I thought that was the end of it. But no.
Oh, God.
A few months later, she messaged me out of the blue and invited me on another night out with her friends. Trying to impress them, I got so smashed I lost my phone and money. I was in a world of my own, and all her friends went home, but she stayed until the end with me. God, Chris, you don't deserve this girl, Chris.
Chris, I can't. I'm not sure I can listen to any more of this.
You're going to have You're going to have to.
Oh.
Chris goes on. She asked me to walk her home, and instead, I literally ran down the middle of the road to the takeaway, leaving her behind to get the bus, for which she didn't have any change, so the bus driver had to let her on for free. He says, I tried to pay for my takeaway with a few coppers I'd found on the floor.
Jesus Christ almighty.
He says, there were multiple failures with the same girl, but these are the most spectacular. Nothing ever
and
happened between
going.
Us. She kept coming
she
back
kept
for more.
Going.
Yeah.
And I want to hear from her.
Yeah.
Because I said to my missus the other night, I said, you see all these sexual failures. I go, you know, we've asked the people for the podcast. What fucking podcast? I do a podcast.
That's what I do when I'm in my bedroom talking.
When you hear me swearing, I'm not just swearing at myself in the mirror, if that's what you probably think. Anyway, I said, we ask people for sexual failures. I said, you know, because I said, all blokes have a ton of instance in which it appeared that there was a girl who was, you know, giving the signs that they were, I don't want to say up for it, because that sounds a little bit horrible, doesn't it? But, you know, that they were interested
in
romantically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they muck it up. I said, so by that rationale, presumably there are loads of, all women have stories about times that they tried to show a bloke that they were
in
interested
the mood.
And that the bloke failed and fucked off. I said, that must be the case. Like, and that must be just as amusing. Like, girls must exchange stories about, there was this time when I invited a guy round and my parents were out and, you know, I was in bed when he got there and he just said, oh, can I watch a fishing program on the Discovery Channel or whatever, right? And she said, no, not really. And I said, so what? She went, I think to a huge degree, the opportunities that you imagine and tell your mates were open to you and that you failed. Are just stories you tell yourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think the opportunities were ever actually there in the first place.
Oh, shit.
Because that way, she said, you can tell yourself a story that you could have had loads and loads and loads of sex if only you'd been a little bit more confident.
Fuck.
And I cut off the conversation at that point. I said, do you know what? Shut your face.
Did you go upstairs and pretend to do a podcast?
I said, shut your fucking face. You're lying. Selfish face.
I'm going to tell the other men about you. Have you got any more there on your big list?
Yeah, James. When I was at high school, a mate of mine was the original Jim White. You know, Jim White off of Sky Sports News for transfer rumours. He came out of all sorts of shit, mainly through his mum. He said, as she had seen she had seen people in the airport going to exotic lands. His best was Andy Impey going to Real Madrid. What made this particular bullshit even better was that he went on to say his dad worked for Merlin, who did the Premier League sticker book at the time. That's great. He told me that his dad had printed a sticker of Andy Impey in his Real Madrid kit. He kept going on to tell me that this was a shiny. Listen,
lie
mate,
upon lie.
I know it sounds far-fetched, but I'm only telling you what I know. And what I know is that my dad was at the Merlin sticker factory just yesterday printing up a million Andy Impey Real Madrid stickers. And they're not going to waste their money. They're not idiots at Merlin, are they? They're not going to start the printing presses until they've got it factually confirmed by the representatives of both Real Madrid and Andy Impey. Anyway, he could not explain why Merlin were now seemingly printing La Liga stickers. When it didn't happen over the summer, he said Andy Impey had preferred to stay at QPR, which is perhaps the most far-fetched element of this story.
Go to Real Madrid. Oh, God. I've got an unexpected boob story here. I've lost the name of the fella that sent it, unfortunately. It's been deleted. Never mind. He says, I moved into a flat with a couple of lads, and in the first week we were cooking a meal together. Somehow they all had their backs to the window and I was the only one facing out of the window. Across the way, a girl came into the room and proceeded to get changed, and I watched while maintaining the conversation without the other lads catching on. I lived there for 2 years but never saw her again. Whoa. So he's having a doesn't conversation matter. With the two lads while watching unexpected boobs across the
gives me another
way.
Like, he never saw her again and he watched forever. So not unlike my little run of good luck
at the
in
train station.
The year 1991 at the train station.
The thing with this is he never saw her again, so I'm thinking ghost boobs.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. That's the exact phrase I was about to use. This is now, we've been doing this for so long, we're thinking the same thoughts, mate. Because I was like, right, this is a new category for people to
boobs.
Write in about. Ghost boobs. Has a ghost ever flashed you her boobs? You know how to get in touch via Twitter. We've got an email address now, topflighttimemachine@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Just mark your emails, ghost boobs,
in capital letters. Yeah, so we can see it. because we get a lot. Have you got any more, or is that it?
Yeah, I've got a really long unexpected boobs. I haven't checked it, so it better be good. I'm going to read it. I'm going to commit just this once to a long email.
I'll edit it out of
shit.
It better
be fucking good.
I'll edit it out of shit. Go for it.
Stephen is a cunter from Rochdale.
Good start.
He describes himself as that. A few years ago, me and my girlfriend took our two young kids to Sandcastle in Blackpool, an indoor water park. There's a bit, they call it the treehouse, where you walk up some steps. This is already really dark that he's at a fucking water park.
I've
with his
read
kids.
This one, this is good.
Right. Walk around a structure and back down some steps with various water features and toys along the way. Not much help to the listeners, but I've attached a picture below in case you can describe it better. If you decide to use this story, I can't see the picture, and I'm not going to. Just
not
above
important.
The stairs to come back down are some strategically placed buckets. They fill up with water, allowing you to tip them up to splash whoever is walking down the stairs. As we approached, a family was stood at the buckets. The father had clearly decided he couldn't leave such an important task to the kids. And was stood,
I like
stood
it.
Holding the... Get away, kids!
I'll
you
do
idiots.
This!
You'll only muck it up!
Yeah!
Dad'll do this!
I'll do it properly!
So the father decided he was going to do it, and he stood holding the bucket menacingly. I sighed and began my descent, but the man held his nerve. My children followed, and I was certain they were going to get splashed, but this man was patient. He knew the end game here.
Fuck.
My girlfriend began to walk down the steps. The man timed it beautifully. He tipped the bucket and a large amount of water hit my girlfriend from above. She let out a shriek and began to run down the stairs into the safety of the busy water park. She had not noticed, however, that the force of the water had pushed her bikini top down her body, revealing her boobs to not only the family with the bucket, but now to the wider public of the water park. It sounds like something from Benny Hill.
Yeah.
It was probably only 4 or 5 seconds before she realised and covered up, but long enough for people to get an eyeful. Oh, an eyeful. I didn't send this story in initially, as I assumed the man responsible would be emailing his version of the same story. Yeah, it's more a story that should have come from the man.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with him?
But I've since realised this man knew the score. These boobs were not unexpected for him. They were planned. Or expected boobs. And of course, that's true. This is a very interesting story because the boobs were unexpected to the boyfriend, but not to the stranger.
Not to the perpetrator.
Mm.
It kind of
and that's why it's wrong. If the other bloke had sent it in, we would have failed him on two counts. One is these were expected boobs. And two is, mate, that is like...
An assault.
That is a, yeah, it's assault. It's like a sex crime.
Yeah.
And that is not what we are endorsing on this
in
this element of the show. Anyway, this blow ends with, still, it's a win-win. That man got some boobs and fair play, he earned them. And the kids get a story they get to remind their mummy about at least once a month. Bloke's a maniac. I think I would have punched that bloke in the mouth. It's like, you just timed a... You just removed my girlfriend's bikini top with a bucket of water assault, you maniac.
But no.
And for what? What really did you get from that? A 5-second glimpse of her nipples.
But no, our correspondent says, well done, mate. You earned it.
I know. Very open-minded.
What a strange world.
And liberal viewpoint, and I suppose that's to be applauded.
Yeah, that's a weird way to end a quite an enjoyable podcast. Keep all the stuff coming in. Like you said, Sam, we're at topflighttimemachine@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @TFTimeMachine, and we're on Facebook as well. Keep them coming.
Ghost boobs. Hearing your ghost boobs stories if you've got any.
Send the ghost boobs in, please. And we'll be back with a new episode tomorrow, which will be our Friday look ahead. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.